The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So today, I want to talk about an interesting topic. I want to talk about a new poll that was released recently that revealed that a large percentage of professed Christians actually don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. Believe that or not, again, a new poll was released by these groups that do these studies, and it revealed that a shocking number of professed believers don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about that today, and then I'm going to show you four reasons why, or really four major functions of the Holy Spirit, and why we need to believe in the Holy Spirit, and why He wants to be active in your life. So let's get after this thing. Of an estimated 176 million American adults who identify as Christians, only 6% or 15 million of them actually hold a, quote, biblical worldview. Now, this poll has been circulated for some time now. But then when you get into the meat of this poll, there's one section in there where I believe it was Barna that did this poll. They actually polled 2,000 adults. Again, these were professed Christians. The study showed in general that while a majority of American self-identified Christians, including many who identify as evangelicals, believe that God is all-powerful and all-knowing and is the creator of the universe, more than half of those who were polled reject a number of biblical teachings and principles, including the existence of the Holy Spirit. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but this is stunning to me. So while you're trying to recover from the shock value of that, what that just revealed, I want to show you today four major functions of the Holy Spirit. First of all, what is the main purpose of the Holy Spirit? So we're going to go through some scripture, guys. Again, on Facebook Live here, you won't see this, but probably when we do when we edit this video, we put it out on Rumble and YouTube, you're going to see these scriptures come up. So I'm going to read these scriptures to you, and then we're going to give a little bit of a commentary and expand a little bit on this. Again, what is the major function of the Holy Spirit? Not only should we believe the Holy Spirit and believe in the Holy Spirit or in its operation, but what is the purpose of it? So let's answer that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is the first place I want to go. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This passage clearly tells us that God fills us with His Spirit to be for the sole purpose to be bold witnesses in the earth. And that means in your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood, in with the proximity of where God has positioned you, placed you, and ordained you and your boundaries. The Greek word here for power, you should receive power, is dunamis. And it means an explosive power or ability to perform the works of the Holy Spirit, which is the great commission that Christ gave all believers. And you can find that in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. Let me read this. And He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means harm them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we can see from this passage out of Mark 16, that Jesus gives us, or He empowers us with the Holy Spirit that comes from the Father. And we're going to break this down even more, and we're going to show you this. He empowers us with the Holy Spirit. Why? To do the works of Christ in the earth. Because remember, when Jesus was on the earth, he was one man. He was flesh, but he was God, but he was man. And he was limited to what he could do because he was only one individual working in the earth. So John 14, 12 says, most assuredly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. So again, I want to emphasize this. Today, present tense, Jesus is currently seated at the right hand of the Father as the high priest of the profession of our faith, while he has passed the baton, or he has commissioned or mandated us, the ecclesia, the church, to continue or to carry out his work in the earth. How do we do that? Through the help of the Holy Spirit. Having said this, okay, I want to break this down even further. All right, so number one, if you're taking notes, the first thing, the first reason why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, operating in our lives, and functioning in our lives is one, is to receive power and boldness to proclaim the gospel. I've already given you Acts 1:8. But in Mark 13, 10 and 11, listen what it says. Jesus says, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. Listen to this. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who shall speak, but it will be the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. So we need the empowerment, the dunamis power, the infilling and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to empower us, to enable us, and to equip us to carry out the Great Commission. Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, I want to tell you that one of the greatest examples of before the baptism of the Holy Spirit and after the working of the Holy Spirit is the Apostle Peter. See, before the day of Pentecost, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter is seen denying Jesus before men. We know that he swore. He was denying Jesus before men. He was swearing, and he actually hid with other disciples because he didn't want to be caught in association with Christ. So there was fear, there was shame, and he wasn't completely sanctified. But watch this. But then we get to after the day of Pentecost, and this same man, Peter, who withdrew himself from the crowd, who denied Jesus three times, who was swearing around a campfire, this same Peter, after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, can be seen standing up, raising his voice, preaching the gospel, and leading 3,000 souls to be saved. We also see where he's on his way to a prayer meeting with John, and he is used by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is able to lay hands on a man, grab a man by his hand, lift him up. He said, silver and gold, we have none, but what we do, we freely give unto you. In the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this man was completely made whole. We see where Peter and John were arrested for preaching the gospel, but 5,000 souls were added to the church from their preaching. So what changed from pre-baptism of the Holy Spirit to post-baptism of the Holy Spirit? The answer is the fullness of the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, friends, despite what sensationists try to teach you, despite what other groups and denominations try to teach you, that same Holy Spirit and that same power and those same miracles are available for you and I and for the church today, because we are still in the earth. The Holy Spirit is not dead, and he's still working through believers today, and he wants us to carry out the commission of the Holy Ghost. All right. So then number two, we, according to the Word of God, we are able to have a prayer language of the Spirit. Now, I know this is going to be controversial, but you guys know me by now. I don't back down from controversy. In Acts chapter 2, it said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. I said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Speaking in tongues, listen to me, was one of the major indicators of the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you read the book of Acts. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says, they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And others mocking, and they still do today, saying that these are full of new wine. In Mark 16, 16 through 18, Jesus told the disciples, and that is us, if you are a believer, if you're born again, if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, come on, somebody, if you have repented of your sins and asked Jesus to come in your life, you are now a disciple, a follower of Christ, of Jesus. Therefore, in Mark 16, you fall into the category of the Lord Jesus Christ commissioning you and I to go into the earth and preach the gospel to every living creature, laying hands on the sick that they may recover, casting out devils, healing the sick. And in Mark 16, he says that he that is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. And he says, and signs will follow those that believe. And he tells you in verse 17 of Mark 16, not only will you cast out demons, but you will speak with another tongue. And this is not bilingual. This is not you learning how to speak Spanish or Arabic or Hebrew. It is a heavenly language. In Acts chapter 10, we see that the Holy Spirit was poured out even upon the Gentiles when Cornelius, who was of the Italian regiment, who was a Gentile, when an angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him that Peter was on the housetop of Joppa praying that when Peter comes down off the rooftop, he's going to come to your house and he's going to speak to you the words of life. You know the story. Peter shows up at Cornelius's house. Peter comes with three men with him. He begins to open his mouth. He begins to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Peter didn't even lay hands on Cornelius or his family, but as those who were there present and heard the truth of the gospel, they received it with gladness, and they were all filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. This was not a language that they had ever learned. It was a heavenly language. Oh, come on, somebody. The Apostle Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men, I will speak with tongues of angels. In the book of Jude said, I build up my most holy faith praying in the Spirit. That's in the book of Jude. Come on, somebody. This is good. This is all in the Word of God. Okay. And you say, well, what's the point of this, Brother Ricky? The point is, listen to me, the prayer language of the Spirit builds our faith And it is, and it's a tool that God has given us that is directly not only for to be able to perform signs, wonders, and miracles, but is it is essential for intercession and prayer. Let me show you this. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. That's Romans 8, 26 and 27. Listen what it says. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Your Bible may say infirmities. The word infirmity in the King James, it translates to a Greek word meaning weaknesses. It doesn't necessarily mean a physical weakness, but it could be a weakness. It can be an emotional weakness, a mental weakness, a physical weakness. It's weaknesses. And it says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Listen, for when we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, the Spirit himself begins to make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Oh, come on. I'm trying to tell you today, I've got good news for you. We have an intercessor in heaven who is seated at the right hand of the Father, who is praying for you and I, but we also have been given an intercessor on earth, and he lives on the inside of us, and he's called the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be times in our lives when we are burdened, when we are perplexed, when we are grieved, when we are vexed, when we are anxious, and we don't know how we should pray. We can't articulate words. So there is a deep groaning. And all of a sudden, we get into our prayer closet. We get into our secret place. We close the door. We get away from everybody. We begin to pray and we begin to intercede. And all of a sudden, we give the Spirit utterance by opening our mouths, and we give him a voice, and he begins to speak out of us. He begins to intercede for us. And listen, the Bible says in Romans 8 that he makes intercession according to the will of God. What does that mean? That means when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, you're making a direct connection to the Father, because the Holy Spirit, according to the book of John, he speaks what has been given to him from above. So it's almost like he's a secret agent that hears from heaven, and he begins to reveal things on earth, and it comes out through prayer and through intercession and seeking the face of God. Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, he tells the church of Ephesus, he says, we're to put on the whole armor of God. He tells them to put on the helmet. He tells them to put on the shield of faith. He tells them to put on the breastplate of righteousness. He tells them to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. But listen to this. In verse 18, when he says to put on all these pieces of the armor through prayer, he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He didn't say pray in your understanding. He said pray in the Spirit. Guys, listen, this is an encouraging word. This is an exciting word. Again, in Jude 1:20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Listen. There's times when you'll get in prayer and you don't feel like praying. You're tired. You're broke, busted, and disgusted. You've got anxiety on you. You've got heaviness on you. You've got sorrow on you. Or you're in your flesh. You don't feel nothing. You don't feel the presence. You don't feel the anointing. But I'm telling you, you begin to pray, and all of a sudden, you'll begin to get an unction, and you'll begin to pray in the Spirit. And as you begin to let that out, come on, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. As you begin to pray in the Spirit, I'm telling you. The anointing will get heavier. Come on, the presence will come into that place. And all of a sudden, you are building yourselves up in your most holy faith. I'm telling you, you'll go in that place. You'll go in that place of prayer, feeling lousy, feeling broke, busted, and disgusted. And by the time you get done praying in the Holy Ghost, you come out of that place of prayer and you are energized, you're refreshed. Come on, you're renewed and you're strengthened in your faith. I'm trying to tell you today, there is levels of faith. Come on. And Jude says that there is a most holy faith that we can reach, and it can only be reached by praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's another thing I want to show you. 1 Corinthians 14:2. The Apostle Paul revealed to the church of Corinth that when we speak in the Holy Ghost, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit will begin to speak mysteries. Now, look, I'm telling you, every person that's listening to this, that's watching this today, if you don't believe in the supernatural of God, then this is going to go right over your head and you're not going to get any of this. So you can just listen. You can either sit and receive it, or you can tune us out and come back tomorrow or next week and we might have something that you like. But I'm going to tell you something. There is times that we can pray and the Holy Spirit will begin to speak mysteries through us. But he will always reveal later on, whether that moment or in time, through a dream, a vision, or circumstance, what the meaning of that is. And that leads me to number three. And that is that God, listen to me, wants us to have the Holy Spirit. So through the Holy Spirit, he will show us things to come. He will reveal to us things to come through the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know if I believe that, preacher. Well, John 16:13, let me give it to you. However, this is Jesus speaking. He says, listen, he tells the disciples, I am about to go to the Father. I will not be here in bodily form much longer. Listen to this. But when he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Parakletos in Greek, the comforter, the one who comes alongside and aids you. When he comes, listen to this, John 16:13, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, what does that even mean? Here's what it means. Listen, I'm going to tell you, when I got saved on June 2nd, 2000, it was shortly after that, not even a month later, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And after that, God began to speak to me through dreams, through visions, and he began to show me things to come. He showed me things in the future. He showed me my firstborn son before he was ever born in the flesh. He showed me that he would be a boy. He showed me that his name would be Elijah. He showed me what he would look like in a dream. He showed me, he revealed to me those details that I had never seen that was future tense. He showed me, listen, I could spend 15 minutes alone and tell you supernatural things that God had revealed to me by his Spirit through dreams, through visions, or through the gifts of the Spirit. And we'll talk about that in just a second. And by the way, dreams and visions are mentioned in the Bible as being poured out upon the last generation, and that's in Joel chapter 2. Okay, so again, we need the Holy Spirit, come on, to empower us to reveal mysteries and things to come. Listen to this, John 14:26. But the Helper, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Listen, one of the things that I had so many people in the church that served the Lord 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Here I was, I had been saved for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, and they were perplexed and they were blown away how I could just quote scriptures, just boom, 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 or articulate and begin to interpret scriptures. They said, how are you doing that? The answer is, it's the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit will bring to you the remembrance of all things that the Lord has said. Where did he say it? Right here. He said it in the Word. He brings to remembrance in the Word. I had a preacher one time say, and I love this analogy. He said, if there's nothing in the bucket, that when it's drawn up through the well, there will be nothing to come out of the bucket. In other words, you got to fill yourself up with the Word of God. Read it. Hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you fill yourself with the Word of God, by hearing it, by listening to it, by reading it, listen, you may not even, you're filling your spirit man up. You're filling the Holy Spirit up. You're filling that bucket up with the Word of God, so that in the time of need, He draws that out of you, and you'll open your mouth and you'll begin to quote scripture that you were blown away. You said, I can't even remember. I can't believe I can quote this script. Listen, guys, there is things I can't even remember I did 4 days ago, but I can quote scripture like this and like this. How am I doing that? The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And that brings me to number four. And that is, when, listen to this, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we become a candidate for all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you that. This is what, listen, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what unlocks the supernatural and unlocks the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right, let me give you that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul tells us that there is 9 gifts. I don't have them right here in front of me, but you have the gift of tongues. Now, this is not your prayer language. The gift of tongues is the ability that someone could come in a meeting and they begin to pray. In a language that is known, but they have never learned. So they open their mouth, they begin to pray in Arabic, in fluent Arabic. They begin to pray in fluent Hebrew. They begin to pray in fluent French, and they speak in this. And then there's the gift of interpretation of tongues. That's when someone speaks in tongues, someone is able to have the gift of interpreting what they said in the spirit, and they can interpret this and speak it in English. Then there's the gift of discerning of spirits. It's the ability to pick up in the spirit realm what kind of spirit somebody has on them or in them. I said on them or in them, because not everybody, most people are not possessed by spirits, but many people are oppressed by spirits. So they've been given this gift of discerning of spirits, and they can look at someone and they have that capability or the ability to be able to see there's a spirit of infirm. Jesus did this. Jesus operated in this gift when he saw a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and she was in a synagogue, and no one in the church had this gift because the Holy Spirit had not come upon, had fallen yet. But Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and he saw on her what was causing the affliction for 18 years was not because she had arthritis, not because she had bone spurs, and not because she had a bad back. It was an actual spirit of infirmity, and it was through the discerning of spirits. Then you have the gift of knowledge. You have the gift of wisdom. You have the gift of miracles. You have the gift of faith. You have 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians 12. And listen to me, the Bible says he pours out his spirit without measure. In other words, I believe with all my heart that the more we press in, the more we ask, we are a candidate for all the gifts. Now, we know according to the Word of God that the Holy Spirit will distribute to whom He wills. In other words, do all have the gift of healing? No. Do all have the gift of faith? No. But there will be people who will operate in those gifts, and they are a great attribute to the body of Christ. Listen, I know in our own church, we have people that operate in the gift of prophecy. We have people that operate in the gift of faith. We have people that operate in the gift of healing. Now, He said we can lay hands on the sick and recover. But listen, that's different than the gift of healing. Just like faith and the gift of faith are two different things. Let me explain this, because I know we're going to get a lot of emails and messages on this. Listen, according to the Word of God, every man has been given the measure of faith. Now, what is the measure of faith? We know according to Scripture that if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak into this mountain, be thou removed, and cast thyself into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, and believe what you shall say, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. That's the Word of God. And that took faith, the grain of a seed, of a mustard seed. But then the Bible says there's the fruit of faith. So you have faith, and then there's the fruit of faith. Well, what's the fruit of faith? The fruit of faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit. By the way, if someone claims to have the Spirit of God, but they're not exhibiting fruit, I question whether they have the Spirit. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? We know, according to the Word of God, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Consequently, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, but then we go from faith to the fruit of faith to 1 Corinthians 12, which is the gift of faith. Now you say, well, hold on, Brother Ricky, what is the gift of faith? Well, let me explain it like this. The gift of faith is a supernatural empowerment that comes upon a believer where they can have an extraordinary faith to believe for circumstances that would typically be impossible for them to believe. For example, remember I told you Jude said that praying in the Holy Ghost builds up your most holy faith. So again, there is levels of the walk of the believer. I know that some people don't want to hear that, but I'm trying to tell you, the Bible says deep calls unto deep. There is things that you may have faith to believe God for, but there is people who possess this gift of faith that is available to whom the Holy Spirit decides to use through them. Again, He talks about this in 1 Corinthians. Do all have this gift or that gift or this gift? And He says, no. What I'm trying to tell you is there is certain individuals that are empowered with these gifts. And I believe everyone is going to have one or more of these gifts when they're baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the gift of faith is one of the greatest examples. Again, you have faith, the fruit of faith, and the gift of faith. So there's levels of faith. There's levels of joy. There's joy. There's great joy. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It talks about this. There's levels of the walk of the believer. And I'm trying to tell you today, and this is where I want to close with this today, is that it is very disturbing when we see that there is many people in the body of Christ that are denying the Holy Spirit, that are professed Christians. Now, I believe this is not referring to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, what do you mean? I'm trying to, when you are saved, born again, confess your sins and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life, ask Jesus to save you and wash you, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life through faith. It is through grace, through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. You are sealed, according to the Bible, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So I'm not talking about that aspect. I'm willing to believe that this group that is saying that they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, I'm willing to believe, and probably most likely it's going to be individuals who do not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said that this would be prevalent in the latter days, because he said that there would be perilous times, that men would have a form of godliness, but that they would deny the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you look this up in the Greek, it actually reads, they will look and they will talk and they will act and they will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the very power of the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly, guys, what these groups like cessationists, who believe that the power of the Holy Spirit went away in the fourth century with the last apostle and is not operative and is not active in the church today, which is an absolute falsehood, because the Holy Spirit did not die with the last apostle, and the Holy Spirit is still here, and the Holy Spirit is still present, and the Holy Spirit is still working through, and he is still being poured out onto believers today, present tense. So this is where I want to close today, guys. I want to pray for every individual under the sound of my voice today. If you are watching this today, you're listening to this today, and you say, I am saved. I know I'm born again, but I question whether I have the baptism, not the infilling. All my baptism brothers and sisters will always say, I don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got that when I got saved. No, you got the infilling. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. But you need the outpouring, the endowment upon high, Acts chapter 2 experience. By the way, every individual that was in the upper room were the same individuals that were the same individuals that followed Jesus in his ministry. And many of those that were in the upper room that were baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire were also the same individuals that were in the house when it was shut and the doors were locked. Jesus walked in, showed them the scars on his hands. And when the Bible says, when they saw and believed on him, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Did you see that? They saw, believed, and received the infilling or the Holy Spirit of promise. But then he tells them, wait and go into the upper room, Acts chapter 2, so you can receive the promise of the Father, which is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do the works of Christ in the earth today. So if you're watching this today, you're listening to this today, and you know that you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in a new tongue, and you say, I want to be able to know these mysteries. I want to be able to pray in the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to have these dreams and visions. I want to be a candidate for these gifts. Then right where you're at, friend, if you can do this right where you're at, if you can't, go back and watch this when you can. Park your car, set yourself aside. I want you to lift up your hands right where you're at. And I want you to pray to the Father. The Bible says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? All you got to do, the same faith that it took for you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is the same faith it takes to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because it's a gift and he wants to give it to you. Lift up your hands right now, and I want you to repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in the gift that you promised that you would give me upon salvation. You said that this gift is for me, my children, and for those all that are afar off, according to the book of Acts. So right now, I want to receive, and I'm asking that you would give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, fill me with the baptism, the dunamis power, the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to perform the signs, wonders, and miracles. And you said these signs would follow those that believe. And you said that I would speak in another tongue. You said that I would cast out devils. You said that I would heal the sick. And you said, greater works shall I do because you go to the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, by faith, I receive this gift. I receive this gift right now by faith. I believe it. I receive it, I accept it, and I walk in it today in Jesus' name. Now, friends, listen, some of you who are watching this, you feel this electricity coming over you. Some of you, it's like liquid fire coming over you from your head to your feet. That is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just don't fight it. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and begin to operate and walk in what God has ordained for you to walk in. Thank him for it. Bless him for it. And begin. Listen, friends, here's what's going to happen. You're going to read the Bible and it's going to be totally different. You're going to start getting revelation that you never saw before. You're going to have an urgency to pray like you've never prayed before. You're going to begin, God's going to begin to show you things to come. He's going to begin to reveal mysteries to you. He's going to begin to empower you with a supernatural boldness to do things that you would ordinarily shy away from. You were the Peter pre-Holy Ghost, but now you're the Peter post-Holy Ghost who's going to be bold as a lion. Open your mouth and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, and these signs will follow you. And it's not because Brother Ricky said it, and it's not my opinion. It's because the Almighty Word of God says it. Therefore, it shall be done according to your faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Guys, again, I want to thank you today for coming on here and being a segment today, this podcast. For all of our Facebook Live listeners that are coming back watching the rest of this message, we apologize that the feed was cut, but we were able to get this whole message out. Listen, if you're watching this, listen to this, whatever platform you're on, listening from, whatever the case may be, we want you to download our free app. Please do that today, right when you get off of this segment. Go to your app store. If you're on Google, Apple, we're on both of those platforms. Go to the Play Store, download End Time Headlines. Again, just type it in, End Time Headlines. Download that app. Get it into your hands. Push yes to push notifications. You're going to get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective in right there at your fingertips. You're going to get these podcasts. You're going to see them on your app. You're going to be able to watch, listen at your leisure. And it's all there and it's free. So we want to give you that opportunity. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If you've not yet partnered with this ministry, if this ministry is a source of blessing, information, revelation, equipping on a weekly basis, we want to give you that opportunity to be able to partner with us with the gift of whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And you could do that two different ways. You could do that through electronic giving, or you could do that through check or money order. If you want to give electronically, you can do it through the app, or you can do it through the main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you wish to get by check or money order, right there on your screen, if you're watching this, it's End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And as always, guys, we want to thank you and we appreciate you coming on and listening either to this on the live segment or on the rebroadcast of this on whatever platform, Rumble, YouTube, Apple Podcast, Spotify, from our app, Facebook, whatever the case is, we appreciate you coming on here. May the Lord bless you today. May he keep you. May his countenance be upon you. We're going to sign off for today. We'll be back on tomorrow to finish off this week of podcasting. Until then, God bless. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.